Greetings, listeners. We are back. If you're listening to this audio on a Friday, we have our New York show that's sold out today, but Maul's guest list is still available. If you're watching this on YouTube on Saturday, thank you for coming out to the show. If you did, patreon.com/newroryandmaul, newroryandmaul.com to get merch. Subscribe to everything, smash like buttons, whatever the kids are saying, comment, do everything that you can possibly do on our socials, I guess. We're with our friend Ian. He has some stuff as well.
Come to the show at Market Mondays in Ghana, December 27th. Got an event in Miami, December 9th with JP Morgan. Come check that out.
And shout out Basil. I see what you did there.
Yeah, you know, a little two for one.
Got to connect this to some art.
Yeah.
Because you love art.
I love art. Earn Your Leisure has an event with United Masters at Art Basel.
Okay.
After my event. And then I want to wish my guy Rotimi happy birthday. And this project is out. Rotimi got a song, this birthday song. I don't know if you're going to put it out.
Okay.
That's one of the best songs I've ever heard. So shout to Ro, shout to Yali. They're friend my friends.
Shout to Ro, shout to Yali.
Yeah.
It's my guy.
Love y'all.
All right, let's get to the show.
No worry,
I'm on a new level. I'm on a new level. Brought me a new shovel. Put these niggas in the dirt.
Welcome to a new episode of the new Rory and Maul podcast. I'm Maul.
You are Maul.
I'm Maul.
I'm Rory.
And today we are joined with somebody that I've been trying to get some conversation with for a while. But
he's busy.
He's a busy guy. We haven't had the opportunity to actually sit and connect in person. So today is my first time meeting this gentleman, but somebody that I've been watching for a while and paying attention to for a while. We are joined with none other than Ian Dunlap. How you doing, my brother?
Good, man.
Big claps.
Yeah.
Big money in the house.
I was a little offended yesterday because I know you have a relationship with Yomi and Eden on our team. Like, oh, Ian's going to come by to do voicemails. And then I felt like they were kind of disrespecting you.
Oh, just stop.
Like a 2-minute segment. I was like, nah, Ian has to come on for a full episode. Not to just give relationship advice with him.
You can't have Ian just doing a relationship advice. Even though he might have some very interesting relationship advice to give.
Well, we will do voicemails.
We'll still do voicemails.
Oh, no, we are. Yeah, because most relationships, the turmoil is financial in most relationships, I think. Me personally, I think that's what causes most problems in relationships.
You think so?
Absolutely.
He has a lot of experience.
I think it's a study on that, though, no?
Relationships.
Yeah, but I think it's more compatibility issues, not communicating well. I'm not a relationship expert. I swap mine out like every 3-6 months. So
yeah.
Oh my god,
that's healthy.
Oh,
yeah. Let's go.
These are just jokes.
Yeah, it's quarterly.
Written by DC Young Fly, Chico Bean, and 85 South.
I don't think finance is really a thing until you're married or talking about being married. No? I'm asking. I was posing a question.
Most problems in relationships come from finances. Whether it's a wife, a girlfriend, the most things you're going to argue about is financial shit.
But if we don't live together and we're just dating,
it still somehow turns into finance.
Absolutely.
And I don't live in the Twitter world where like there's the financial dating rules that you have to like spend $1,000 a day. Yeah. I'm talking about like real life.
Yeah, no.
If you're gonna live with
more than trust.
Money and trust is probably the same in a relationship. Because if you ain't got no money, she don't trust you.
No, if you got too much money, I don't trust you.
Yeah, and if you got too much money, she definitely don't trust you.
If you're a man, she doesn't trust you.
Well, here we go. And if you're a man, you got to make money.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But that's just a man.
You're not a man if you don't make money. That's what the women say.
Okay.
That's cap too.
That's what the women say.
They be giving box away to motherfuckers with no money.
I mean, 100%. I've been broken.
Okay, Ian is here to talk today. I like this shit.
Speaking of women,
he here to talk.
But as a man, you should want to make money for your... That shouldn't just be for yourself. Thing.
Yeah. just for life, you should want to make
money. Did you have more women when you were broke or when you had money?
When I was broke. For sure.
When I was broke by choice, though. If I wanted to have a lot of women,
what does broke by choice mean?
The fuck are you trying to
say? No, when I was broke, I had more women by choice.
Oh, got you.
Yeah,
I thought you broke by choice.
No, when I was broke,
I'm not really into the money thing right now.
No. When I was broke, I had more women by choice. If I wanted more women now, I could have more women, but I just don't care. Because
you had more time? Is that what you mean?
Nah, because you just, when you're younger and, you know,
you hungry.
Usually that's when you're broke, is when you're young. You're trying to figure shit out. It's just, you just out here just knocking them down. It's not even about, you know what I mean? Your day is revolved around trying to get some pussy.
That's what I'm saying. You have the time to actually go do something like that.
When you get older, you don't, that shit is like, if it happens, it happens.
About 20 to 40% of divorces are caused by financial issues, Maul.
But no, that makes sense to me when it comes to marriage or when you're living with someone.
What's the other 60%?
It's a
Instagram,
a hodgepodge,
big facts.
IG,
communication, infidelity, lack of
infidelity, intimacy just means Instagram in French.
That's a bar.
Yeah, infidelity is Instagram in French. Yeah. That's all it is.
But what would be like the first? I've never had a money conversation with a significant other where it was like an issue per se. So
you got what, it.
Yeah, you, know, you do.
Even
have
when it. I was broke and I was in relationships, like that just wasn't like the main focus.
So she wasn't talking to you about money. She was talking to somebody else with money.
Mm. Oh my God. Mm. But that's a bar though.
Mm. But that's what I'm saying. He's like, well, when I was broke, it wasn't an issue. Yeah, why would or, I talk to you about money if you don't have money?
Or we were just in love and we were focused on that rather than materialistic things.
Yeah.
How do you find the ones you be in love with? Out.
Instagram.
Gotcha.
It's usually social media.
But I don't even know how those conversations would go. Like, how does that start? Like, you missed the mortgage
how do
payment.
How do y'all
done.
Start with it? Like, yo, I want this. Can we go here? I think they do, like, the feelers first.
I suppose. I mean, now with having a kid, there's financial conversations more than I've ever had. But it's not so much. Luckily, we're blessed enough to have enough.
Yeah.
But it's not money conversations like, we're done if we can't get her into avenues.
That's sick. Yeah, that's like, a sick conversation.
I just don't know how. I know that's a thing. I'm just curious how the
I think it's more so, like you said, communication. Yeah. Sometimes you don't communicate some of the stresses that not having money brings to a relationship.
Yeah.
Because you're either so busy trying to figure it out, which now, just financially, everybody, I'm seeing people that have great incomes and they're living check to check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people are just trying to survive and just trying to and make it. But it's like, you know, you have to communicate. Through it all. I think a healthy relationship, communicate it through it financially. Yes, you're going to have ups and downs, even if you're making money. But I think if you have, like you said, trust and you just have that open communication where y'all know y'all going to figure it out together, that's what you're supposed to have is love and trust in each other. But sometimes, you know, finances overpowers all of that because if you can't pay the mortgage and then we lose our house and then we have to, you know, move in with our parents and stay in the basement, it's
that's
like
a different thing.
Then you're not horny. Like, how you can't even be horny if you're not making money in a relationship?
Yeah.
I don't know. When I was broke, I was probably
no,
giving the best I had.
You were younger.
Younger.
You gotta take care of a kid.
As an older man, like you can't be horny and you broke. Like it's not even you're not even thinking about sex. You like, yo, bro, I don't even know if we'll be living next month. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I can guarantee out of those 40% of divorces that are about money, it's never about her not making enough money.
Oh no.
All 40%, I'm sure, because he isn't making enough
money. Absolutely. The men are supposed to be the ones that bring the bread into the house and you know, the women are supposed to take care of the house and home and make a house feel like a home and all of those things that they just made up years ago. But then Beyonce said independent women. Y'all act like she forgot. They forgot. They act like they forgot she said that.
Million
what happened to the independent women?
Ian, how many...
See?
Like, how many divorces do you think happened over COVID because of crypto?
Shit, probably 10-15%. You got it the wrong time.
Yeah?
Boy, you fucked that back. Yeah.
How many relationships are over because of NFTs?
2-3%
Yeah, well, some people why that, we don't talk about like those things that were like big on the timelines at one point and now people hardly ever talk about them anymore. Like NFTs is just
I do and they say it's hate.
Oh, you talk about it?
Oh yeah.
The NFT thing to me was something that people that just were not cool tried to create a world where they didn't have to really be cool.
Yeah.
And not be outside. Like, because I'm like, okay, you have a Basquiat where? And you show me a picture on your phone of some digital shit.
It's
that's not a Basquiat.
Cap. Like it's like digital Instagram. Like, people wanted to show off shit that they didn't have to try and finesse women that they couldn't get normally.
Yeah. Right.
Same cycle.
Yeah.
Same cycle.
And I fall on the same side as Maul with the NFT stuff. But the more I think about it, our actual currency isn't real. It's all make-believe. So that's why not try to catch a lick off the NFT
liquidation
shit? Because I know some people that did make...
That made money, yeah.
And they weren't art collectors. They were just the same way they day trade. Mm-hmm. They were just... saw a lick and like, well, this will disappear soon, but let me catch some money.
And I'm not mad at them, but for the people who was like, this is going to be more valuable than the actual
Mona
building
Lisa.
Or painting. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, no bank is buying. And for all of y'all, I'm not hating on NFTs. I'm not hating on crypto. Shout out to y'all. Love y'all. Mm. But it was a lot of hustle.
Yeah.
That was into it. And I don't think most men want to put in time to be great at a craft. They want enough money to be able to finesse women out of sex.
To be able to finesse women out of sex.
That's all that shit. Like, if we're going to be real, all the Instagram, all the car, I see a lot of cap ass shit. I'm like,
yeah.
it's so you can slide in the DM and get some pussy you probably don't deserve. I'm not hating. I'm not doing the Derrick right. Jackson.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But that's what it comes down to.
Well, men are simple. We would just need like a lazy boy chair and a TV.
And a head.
And we'd probably be okay.
And what?
We get nicer things to impress women.
Lazy boy, I like nice things. A good combo, though. Wrong. Some throws yeah, on a lazy boy.
Let me get some nice. Good head.
Yeah.
On a lazy boy.
Yeah. See, I was. That's what I
did. The joint with the cup holder. When's the last time you seen a chair with a cup holder?
Stop.
It's been a minute. Has been a long time.
Y'all are sick.
Speaking of crypto and NFTs, is that something that you're going to discuss at the next Revolt Summit, or where are we at with that?
Oh my gosh.
Sorry for being an asshole.
Take that.
and will you be at the next Revolt Summit?
Shout to DeTavio. I probably will be.
Well, Puff stepped down.
Yes.
2 days clear. Ago.
So you can step up.
I could. I could.
Do you think he should sell it to 50?
I would. I think he needs to lay low for 2 or 3 years. Like, he's in some hot water, man. And I don't know how he'll be able to escape this one.
I don't. I was talking to somebody last night about it, and you know, he was saying like, "Yo, you know, it's funny. All of this news came out about Puff and these things, these allegations, and everything hit the net, and he has to step down from all of these companies that he's the officer of, and these things because I think in her lawsuit she sued." Director Everybody. And officer, like, so he had to step away from Revolt as a result of that.
Yeah.
I just don't know, like, if Puff doesn't address the culture and have like a real sit down and really talk to these allegations and deny what's not true and accept what is.
Yeah.
How do we accept Puff back after some allegations like this? Like, he can't just pop back up and be like, yo, new album, new Ciroc flavor. Like, I don't think it could go that way.
We've seen it done before.
We've seen it. He's done it.
When has he had allegations like this, though?
Tupac?
No, but that's different. That's allegations from somebody saying, yeah.
And Keefe been talking forever.
Yeah, but that's not... I understand what you're saying, but that's like violence. That's like, you know... I'm talking about rape, sexual abuse. Yeah.
And that's also a small...
This is different.
...community of YouTube, like... I watched all that stuff.
Yeah.
But my mom texted me when this news hit about Puff. She's never been like, yo, do you think Puff had something to do with Pac's death? My mom's never sent me that.
And those are speculative. This is just flat out more definitive.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, at some point, he's going to have to address it. Like, if he wants to be a public figure. I think we're just entering an era where people want truth. And unfortunately, the most...
No matter how dark it is?
You're going to have to. Mm. Gonna have to, like, when Robert Downey Jr. went through his rebrand, he had to come forward and tell the truth. Like,
heavy rebrand,
you can't lie and have a persona and have a cloud hanging over your head. Now, he may have to lay low for 2 years, go to therapy, do that whole hey, I'm a changed person, mm-hmm. It was a dark time for me. But if he doesn't address it, I don't see how he's heralded as the icon that he is.
Do we think he even wants to be a public figure anymore?
Absolutely.
I think he has to be.
He's addicted to that spotlight, man. That's his whole personality.
That's who he is.
But
he's one of the kings of our culture.
Of course.
He has to. The spotlight has been on him. He's been in the spotlight over 20 years, at least over 20 years. I mean, you can't just not be in the spotlight, because then how do you operate now? Like,
But Puff has had, I mean, he's definitely been through some shit, whether it was like with the Shine thing or, you know, obviously everything with Big. Not to say everything's been great for Puff in the limelight, but the limelight has been good to Puff and it's been forgiving to Puff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was, of course, sexual assault and robbing publishing are drastically different things. But Puff has been under scrutiny through most of his career and everyone still love Puff.
Yeah.
This is different. I don't think he's going to like the limelight the way he once did. He's never had this type of line.
But for business purposes, he's going to have to. Because I don't think that he's in the right... Like, when the DeLeon thing got taken away, now you're back in the entertainment space where you have to be public-facing to draw enough equity to the products that you're promoting. Like, Revolt's not doing as great as everyone think it is.
I mean, I'm sure they spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think they're still a young company that they're not even really in the profit world yet, or thinking that way. I think that comes in another 10 years. I think they've been doing great with the slow burn process that they're, what, like 10 years in now?
Yeah.
They've partnered with the biggest, from Breakfast Club to Drink Champs. Like, they always do find the right cultural
assets
stuff.
Assets of reliability every Monday.
So they partner with the right people. It's just more of a slow burn rather than them trying to get.
Is it slow burn or wrong business model?
I don't think in the content game per se, especially when they're kind of, I don't think there's anyone like them within our space. There's a bunch of different production companies and TV networks elsewhere, but within our culture, Revolt is by itself. So they have the ability to take the slow burn.
Yeah.
And it's not the same as, you know, you playing with NBC money. That's different.
True. Yeah.
So I thought they were doing fine. I didn't think they were in the profit business yet. I think it's great that he stepped down so it could continue to move forward. But as someone that was affiliated with it, where's your last week been as far as what it looks like now that my name has been attached to somebody that has these accusations?
As far as Puff?
Yeah.
You got to just be honest at some point, man. I don't think he can just pop back out in 4 months and be in a new video and everyone's like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I don't think hip-hop gave a fuck about what he did wrong.
Mm.
It's too much that hung over his head from 94, either because they wanted access to him,
mm-hmm.
wanted his help, or was afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's still not nothing to play with. Y'all can crack all them jokes y'all want to online.
Mm-hmm.
End up like Wale.
Mm-hmm.
Be easy. He's still not nothing to play.
We'll do that.
We know. Wale, and I love you. I fuck with you. But how strong you got to be to hold a motherfucker up with their shoes in the air?
I mean, it's... Wale's probably a little taller than me. Probably like a... pause. Probably like 210, maybe.
Why is
two that? Bodyguards? Yeah, I think.
Two bodyguards to get it
that's,
done?
That's easy to get to Wale over
the... That's a hell of a skit, though.
Yeah.
But... we've known Puff to be, quote unquote, the boogeyman. The way Shug had that reputation, we've known
he's that
as of recent that Puff has kind of been that for real.
Yeah.
People can joke, laugh, he dances, this and that.
Yeah.
We know what time it is, but that doesn't mean we should be quiet about it. Like, I don't think we should speak out only because we think someone might be pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's called selective politics, and I've never been down with that.
Period.
So why don't y'all and call I think everybody who's doing it and everybody who do grimy shit in the business?
Like who?
It's a few. There's a couple of the content creators who be doing some foul shit. Some in Jersey.
I don't fuck with him though. Mm.
Who? I'm not talking about.
I didn't know what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Talking about Joe. I'm not aware. Are we saying within the podcast world?
Just in
YouTube
general.
YouTube world. I'm not fully aware of everything everyone's done in their past, but anytime something, even when it's been within my own camp and attached to one of my businesses, I've first person to speak about it. I'll talk on my podcast about it. I'll talk about socials. I try to stay as consistent as I can. Now, with that said, I'm not also going to take my time when we leave here to go research everyone's personal life.
Gotcha.
And make sure that I'm speaking up about everything that they maybe did behind a closed door.
Why do you think everybody in the industry turned a blind eye to it? Was it fear or because they wanted to be close to him?
I think it was both. I think people, a lot of people, that was the way they made money.
Yeah.
They was directly attached to him or worked with one of his companies. Maybe some fear as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's fear of like physical harm or financial.
Yeah.
I think it's more so financial, if you ask me. A lot of people don't know what their next move is if they don't have this move.
Yeah.
So you can't blame people for that. But at the same time, you know, like I spoke last week, I just don't understand how you could sit back and know that that was happening and still function day to day. Like, how could you even focus on knowing things like that are happening around your workspace?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. I understand people got to make money and take care of their families. I get that part and I respect that. But at the same time, I just don't see how you can focus to a point where you try to block out what is actually going on and able to function day to day. But
in the music business, the music business since the beginning has been run by gangsters, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So finance.
So I think it's par for the course.
Well, I guess we rightfully so pick and choose crimes that we find more heinous than the other.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, you could say ex-drug dealers financed a label.
Yeah.
When you get down to the politics of that, of maybe actually ruining a community and people did die of that, we don't care about that because there is more into that backstory of how drugs got here, this and that. But when it comes to sexual assault or harming women, that's just the clear one. We'll let some heroin go. Like,
true.
We kind of get it. There's some type of American history in there that has forced some people to sell drugs and make the best situation of what it is. But yeah, we can pick and choose. I think there should be a buffet with crimes within the music industry of what we tolerate and what we don't tolerate.
That's true.
Because some have understanding and some don't.
Yeah.
But I can be objective too. Like, let's say I'm signed to Bad Boy as an artist. my relationship with Puff only is that he gave me an advance, a recording budget. He's helping market my product. We went to a few appearances together. I went to maybe one party. What do you want me to do? Like, I get it. As much as we did talk about it, and a few people that brought a voice to the media because no one was talking about it.
Yeah,
I get why some people shut up. Like, what is it even their place to do it if they have no real affiliation with? Yeah.
And,
I've heard a million things. You kind of look even crazier if you're that guy in the music industry, because we've all heard rumblings of a bunch of different people.
Yeah,
that just one day I'm going to get out of bed and be like, yo, I heard this about this exec. No, I have no evidence. I just heard it. And now I'm on a microphone talking about someone's reputation in regards to sexual assault. And I didn't see it happen. So what do you really want?
So we can't say anything if we didn't see it happen? Once again,
I think there's a line.
More so, I think the fact that one of his relationships that was so public and that so many people kind of like, you know, enjoyed watching just from an aesthetic, a good looking couple.
Yeah.
For her to come out and say those things were happening, I think that shocked everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that was the reason why people were like, whoa, like we actually liked that couple. We actually like, we didn't, had no idea that, well, the public did. Some people knew what was going on. We didn't.
Yeah.
So for that to come out, for her to say those things, I think you had to speak on it, because we spoke on it when it looked like it was all good. Like, yo, every time you see them, they look good, dress fly, you know, whatever, whatever. Like, great looking couple.
Yeah.
But now she's saying that she experienced all of these things in that relationship. It's like, I think that threw everybody for a loop. Yeah. Like, oh shit, we had no idea. From the outside looking in, it looked like things were great.
I think from 24 to 34, we're going to go through a period where people stop buying into facades. Like, going back to your point, a man with too much money, there can be some red flags there.
Oh yeah.
For sure. So I think we have to stop getting caught up in the veneer of what looks good versus is it actually healthy?
Mm.
Okay, so I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
How many women you done got off this money bag drop you be doing? Because every time I pop on the gram.
Yeah. Well, like you, I want to talk about money.
Okay.
I'm trying to make the conversation about money. I'm trying to make it cool to talk about money. I've met a lot of conversations have happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A lot of women have
DM'd me. That's the PC answer. Yo.
Yeah. No, seriously. A lot of women have DM'd me about leaving money bags on their pictures. They don't know what it means. They just want to know what it means.
Yeah, you trying to give them a bag or like what you mean? Okay.
I'm not. That's
you,
not what
you
it
don't
is.
Trick.
No, I don't.
Diversifying his bonds is what he's doing.
Yeah. Gotcha. It's just just showing love and support for great art.
Gotcha.
It's like an NFT, if you will. It's not. Trash? I'm not giving you real money.
Got you. Like, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm giving you the.
So the more money bags, the more valuable she is to you.
Not to me, but I think to the
street. To the market.
To the market.
Gotcha.
You understand what I'm saying?
So you like Sotheby's with the baddie.
Exactly.
You're introducing Sotheby's the IP with the baddie.
Yeah. I'm helping her build her financial portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm helping, you know, people go to her page. They understand. It's kind of like
dividends?
The Michelin star.
Mm-hmm.
You know that this is quality. You know, when you come here, mm-hmm. you see the money bags. This is quality. This is a brand that I can trust.
You are her Jordan Belfort to her Steve Madden.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Only when it went public.
I like that movie too.
Got you.
And then naturally, the pump and dump happens after.
Exactly. Got a pump and dump.
You did a lot of pump and dump.
You did avoid his question, by the way. I'm not going to allow it to happen. He asked you a direct question and you didn't answer a single part.
How many of you bagged off dropping the bag?
How many women have you fucked from dropping that emoji?
I don't think I've fucked women off dropping them off. But no, listen. Listen, I'm being honest. I don't think
we're not doing that.
Oh no, now I have a lot of conversations start
with that comment.
I've had a lot of conversations start because a lot of women don't know what it is.
Gotcha.
They see it, but then now when they get it, they're like, oh shit, like
I'm next.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No. Not I'm next.
Okay, then follow up questions since you're avoiding. Out of the conversations that started, how many of those women did you penetrate once the conversation was done?
With your cock.
Jesus, Ed.
Jesus.
Wow. Sorry.
Can you put the pause on?
Yeah.
No, where are the pause?
Oh, yeah, where are the pause?
That's no pause Eddie right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's counting? Maybe four.
Okay.
Boo. What?
Didn't we just talk about authenticity and media?
Cap,
we were just talking about
that.
No,
I'm serious. I really
four
don't.
Women?
Yeah.
Did you just pull the woman, I only have five bodies?
That's the equivalent.
Yo, Ian, I promise you, they think I'm out here throwing my shit around. I'm really not, though. Gotcha. I promise you I'm not.
You have 7 years in, I think, of the emoji?
Mm.
No, maybe five.
I can divide.
Yeah, maybe five.
So you're averaging a body a year?
Yeah.
I can do the take.
All for that? Yeah.
Fam.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Because I'm really not, I really don't, I don't turn it into a sexual conversation. Yeah.
Which is smart. You play the long game?
Yeah, you ask what they're reading?
Not even play the long game. Because you know what it is? You could see a beautiful woman, and I've experienced this. Beautiful women. Aesthetically, she's great, everything. But then when you meet them in person, you like,
you not that in real life? Oh, that's the
so
worst.
So that's why I'm not shooting my shot on. Darn, and a lot of these women I've never met in person. So it's like, I'm not shooting over... Like in the DM, because I've seen some of these women in person and I'm like, I should go take all my money bags back.
She lived in Parsons.
Damn.
I ran into a couple of them like that.
It's like, and she smiled too hard. She got the side tooth. The love seat is missing. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh,
I didn't.
Y'all
look different in person than they do in real life.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, your feet is
not
ugly.
Smart.
You're a picky dude.
Have you ever?
I mean, I like what I like. Deleted
all the bad bitches got ugly feet.
No.
All the bad bitches have ugly feet.
I've seen a lot of bad bitches with ugly feet. I don't have ugly feet, but I've seen a lot of bad bitches with ugly feet.
Well, I've seen some. Not all. I don't say all of them got ugly feet, but a lot of them.
A lot of them.
I've seen, yes. And then it's like, you see them in person. It's just not what you thought.
Yeah.
It's just not. So that's why when people say, yo, you out here fucking, it's like, bro, I wish y'all could see these girls when I see them. Because it's not what y'all think it is. It's really not. So that's why I'm not out here, yo, what's up? Because I know if I see you in person, I might not be attracted to you.
Anybody on your roster come from the money bag drop? I'm just doing analytics.
Your current roster.
How many got on the roster?
Rory's sipping from that is hilarious.
I don't even have a roster.
Oh, my Lord, bro.
What?
Bro, I don't have a roster.
Can we get a big cap segment?
Bro, listen, I'm not lying to you. I don't have a roster.
You don't have a roster?
I do not have a roster.
You got one special person?
I wouldn't even say I have one special person.
Gotcha. Come on, bro. Aww.
I don't.
So you just out here not getting no pussy.
I mean, if I want pussy, I can get pussy, but I'm not saying I'm not like in a relationship. I don't have a roster. I don't have a Rolodex where I could be like, yo, I'm gonna get pussy from her today. Like,
Let me see your Apple Music Artist of the Year. I'm gonna see if you get pussy.
It's Drake.
All right, see you. Get pussy.
Yeah.
Because I listen
to Drake records? Pull up your Apple.
You
definitely fucking.
But I told y'all when I heard that record how phenomenal I thought that record was.
Because you wearing some pussy when you heard it.
Drew Picasso?
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I
thought that was a phenomenal record. Like, that doesn't mean I'm getting pussy because I thought a record was phenomenal. Drew Picasso is my top song of the year.
Number two?
Number two is Members Only.
You're not listening to these records by yourself not getting pussy.
What do you mean?
I'm vibing in the shower playing Drake.
Vibing by yourself.
Julian,
crazy.
We were at the airport and we were standing there at the baggage claim. And you said, "Yo, what song are you listening to?" Because you heard me saying it. What was I listening to?
He was
because he was probably texting the girl he was fucking. Couldn't wait to get home.
What? I was just listening.
You probably
text
her and say, "Yo, I'm listening to our song."
No, that's y'all do it. I don't listen to music 100%. And just think about fucking bitches. I don't.
No, Maul be in the studio playing like.
I just like good music. I'm not thinking about like I'm. Bro, listen, I'm 42. I'm not as horny as I used to be, bro. I don't think about pussy all day. I promise you. I don't. Like, if I'm listening to good music, it's not because I'm like, yo, I'm about to get up with a girl. I'm just listening to good music.
Just half the day? Half the day you think about it?
No, I really don't think about pussy as much as I used to. And I thought about that the other day. I'm like, damn, like, I really.
When you hit your 40s, though, it do change.
It's like, I don't really. Yeah. It's like, I don't. And then I see a lot of younger dudes that I know, and they're like, damn, they text the group chat. Yo, we at the club. And I'm like, yo, bro, y'all been at the club the last four nights. What the fuck are y'all doing?
Yeah.
Getting pussy.
I didn't even know the clubs were still a thing in New York. Like, I don't even know.
What are you talking about?
If you asked me what club to go to in New York, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
But you're not supposed to. The younger generation should know, though.
Yeah. Ian, how do you go out? What's a night out? Like, not even on a date night.
What's your vibe?
Yeah. Lounge, club.
Here?
Bar. Yeah.
Give me here and then give me Houston.
Here, like, I may just do, like, Say Less or something with friends real quick. Pop, like, 6-8 of us. Just chill.
I mean, they're in there.
I'm a thought for that.
That's some thought shit.
It's a little
thought. The
food's
not even good. You can't even deny
it. It's trash. Like, low key.
The food where?
Say less.
Yeah, you're paying for the ambiance and
the escort vibe. You know, the escorts are in the back sitting there drinking.
See, I
they're not in the back. They're in the front.
See?
Taking lemon shots all night.
You drop money bags on them too or no?
Escorts?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I've dropped money bags on escorts that I didn't even know was escorts.
Does it on cards?
That's a lot of them.
Yeah, I found. I was like, wait a minute. She sells ass.
Wait a minute. She sells ass?
Yeah, I never.
It's a lot of that.
I never knew. I see somebody's going, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll say back to the broke to having money conversation. More of a letdown than finding out Santa wasn't real when I was a kid is finding out how many women sell pussy.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I wasn't naive. I wasn't that green. But once I got money and the offers, I was like, you sell pussy too?
Man.
It's crazy.
You ever take
No, it's up? Like, it's a lot. Like a lot of women sell pussy. No, I've never bought pussy. I paid for it in the long run. But
in relationship you mean?
Shit.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And heartbreak.
Yeah.
It really kind of made me look at the world in a different way. I was disappointed.
Yeah. You think all these girls going on their trips because everybody's like a boss babe and
yeah, of course.
It's tough, man.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
I'm not shout out to the women that are building real businesses, but I know
shout out to those, yes.
Yeah, that are really doing it. But it's a lot of women who are acting as if they're really selling candles and shit and they
ain't nobody buying that many candles.
Pussy come with the candle?
You can't go to Bali for a week on selling candles.
For real.
Yes, you can. No,
how many candles you
how many selling? Candles are you selling?
Because the candles is $24.99. Yes. God damn it. I know how much it costs to
the
go
margin
to Bali.
May be $12.
Yeah.
How many candles you gotta sell to go on a $15,000 vacation?
Like, stop it. We could just be real. And we not I'm not mad
zero
at
zero when you have someone with 15 that, grand.
Yeah, exactly. See, somebody that's willing to pay for it.
All right, so I think we're a little judgmental, and I think we're a little hard on the girls that go on the quote-unquote hoe trips. If you are in your 20s and your homegirl came up to you and said, hey, I got this athlete friend that will fly all 10 of us out first class to stay at a resort, all expenses paid, food, everything. Are you going to say no?
No, in my 20s, I probably would have went.
Like, we give these women, like,
I'm not
a tough break on
that. Yeah, I ain't mad at it.
I'm not mad at it at all. I mean, get your shit off, but don't try to come back and then say, yo, nah, I want you to be my man. What?
But some
Now if you're dating her, that's fucking crazy.
But not every girl on the whole trip is giving up pussy. Some are just going for
What percent is there?
Yo.
Come on, we gonna talk.
It's always one in the background. It's like, yo, but not all. Yeah, all right.
60%? I'll go low.
If there's ten bitches on the whole trip,
six fucking.
Maybe okay. So what about the four that's not fucking?
They on their period. They sucking dick.
That's not.
Damn.
Throat goblin.
Maul.
Throat goblin.
They synced up on the airplane there.
Well, what does happen? Is there six other guys on the trip?
There's one guy.
Oh, there's
never one guy.
No, often there is. Often there is one guy.
One guy.
One guy with ten girls. I get it.
No, that's a
thing.
That's a thing.
I've definitely been the one.
But
he's
not hitting all six then.
Exactly. Like one is licking one nipples, one
two
is there
or three,
for show.
Yeah. Yeah.
One you can't fuck
one
six
is there to
bitches
record
at one
everything.
Time. Exactly. Yeah.
Being on nipple duty would be nice.
Yeah, but somebody fucking the landscaper though.
What?
The landscaper get pussy too on them.
What's the landscaper?
What?
Mom,
you know what? Like, I know somebody. Yeah.
Landscapers is you got the landscapers fucked up. In Turks,
you watch too much porn.
Yeah. No, I know too many niggas.
Turks and Mexico.
Yeah, they fucking don't.
I can see it.
No, I know there are, but the bitches that are getting brought on the whole trips by the NBA players are not fucking the landscaper.
There's
bitches that are fucking the landscapers, but those are the bitches who do lashes for a living. They're fucking the landscapers.
Why?
Well,
let me
just
straight
even
like
though
that.
I'm not trying to be judgmental. Let me have a vulnerable moment. I could be cool with finding out that my girl once upon a time went on a hoe trip with six of her girlfriends and six guys.
How many
she ended
years
up
ago?
Fucking one of the guys on the trip.
Great question.
I could stomach that way more than finding out my girl went on the hoe trip with one guy and six girls.
Why?
What?
You just here to service one dude?
No,
all
I don't.
Six of
y'all
they're
not all fucking the one dude.
They're
baby.
Not. Bitches are there for company.
Depends on the dude.
Yeah, they're there for the look. Sit at the table.
We have a friend in the podcast community that was in an open relationship, and she told me her and her man used to order six chicks legally.
Swag.
And they would go down there to fuck all six of them.
But that same person also said in that same conversation that bullet. Not all girls had to give up pussy.
Yeah.
Don't do
one,
that.
One of my ex-girls went and didn't give up the pussy.
You believe that lie?
You believe it.
No, it came straight from the source. She didn't give up.
I was proud of her.
Source.
That she held the ground.
How many groundkeepers, the pool boys, and all those kind of jobs
do
you think Drake has gotten pussy?
Oh, all of them.
If he gives them dap on the way out,
all of them.
All those girls. No, it's true.
All
think about
them.
It. All they're all boys.
The Drake
all of them.
Yeah. Man.
Every last one of them. They all wearing knock the Nike shirts with Turks on the other side.
Imagine cutting grass and knock them.
Yeah, they wearing the knock the shirts with the knock the slides. Yeah, they've been knocking bitches down too. I know.
That's unfortunate because the times Drake has given me dap in public, no girl has came up to me afterwards.
Nah.
Well, keep putting videos out.
They probably thought I was 40. Like, oh, he's going to studio. Yeah. He doesn't have time. last time you were here, well, actually, do we want to go through our Apple Spotify?
I want to know what
Ian listens to.
Because,
Maul, you're not getting away with that. I saw Don Toliver.
Yeah. We
this is all getting pussy
list.
Music.
We going to do artists?
This is all.
Let's do artists first.
Let's do artists first.
My top five artists of this year. Number one, OVO Aubrey. Shout out to Ack. OVO and Chubbs. Number two is Doja Cat.
Mm.
Number three, Rosalia.
Let's go.
Four, Don Toliver. And number five, the king of pop, the new one, Benito.
Yeah. All
right.
Let's go.
All right. I got number one, Drake. Right. Number two, Don Toliver. Number three, Brent Fires. Number four, Jazzy. That was surprising to me. I did listen to a lot of Jazzy this year.
Great project.
Yeah. And number five, Nick Grant. Shout out to my guy, Nick Grant.
Oh, that's dope.
I will say this, though, just for the sake of talking. Rory is in my top 10 artists that I listened to this year.
Oh, thank you.
So number six?
He's number 10.
I saw Damaris posted hers, and I was nowhere to be found. I don't even think you gave me a stream.
What did I post directly after?
You found some old
ass screenshots. He didn't see that. No, he didn't see that. Because somebody asked me that question when I posted that and was like, why isn't Rory in your rap?
I saw it. I saw your response. Made no sense.
She heard it mad times.
How does that not make sense?
What was your album? No.
I knew your album backwards, forwards.
I was going to say, she heard it mad times before that.
Still, when I listen to your album, I go to the exclusive Spotify link that us who are in the credits have. So, no, I don't listen to
Why would you do that? Go give me the streams.
Yeah, those streams.
I don't use that link. I use regular Spotify link.
Because it's just, it's an automatic thing. Because there's songs on there that other people don't have.
What's your top song?
Wait.
Rory, give us your top five artists. We know Rory's number one.
No, Drake is number one.
Of course.
I'm number two.
Mm-hmm. Sick.
Frank is number three. Jay-Z is number four.
Jesus.
Kanye at number five. I'm gonna go my 10. I have Child at six, SZA at seven, Adele at eight.
Okay.
This is a new one for me, and I think it's because of the joint album. I have 21 Savage.
Oh yeah, me too, bro.
Me too. Blew my fucking mind.
Yeah.
And then I have Little Brother at 10. And then Jay Elect, Tyler, Kiana Lede.
Right. Nice.
Number six, I had SZA. Seven, Diddy. Eight,
good album.
Sean Smith. Nine, Maida. 10, Rory.
Shout to Maida.
11, Conway the Machine. 12, Al.
Ian, what's your 6 through 10?
Sade was number 13 for me.
Is it on Spotify?
I don't know if Spotify does top 10.
I'm on my Apple.
Damn.
I know. I'm saying of all of us, Ian's the only one that uses Spotify.
Me too.
Yeah. No, I do too.
Okay, let's go. Adam, you're up. Go.
Top five. Drake, Bad Bunny, go figure. Kanye West, Tyler, the Creator, and 21 Savage.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're well-rounded.
Yeah.
Drake, Kiana Lede, Summer Walker, SZA, Beyonce. I very obviously hate niggas. Go ahead.
Wow, Drake is your number one.
Because he cheated the algorithms with that long-ass album.
How is that cheating the algorithm?
You still listen to it?
Because when you put that album on, like, and just, like, let it play, I'm not listening to that album in its entirety. I'm not cheating that.
Drake's.
His latest album.
Latest one.
So it's, like, just, like, to get to through the entire album, he has more songs. So technically, they're counting songs that I play. He's going to get more played.
You could also not listen to
it. You could listen to an album once, and it automatically doesn't become your number one most played album of the year.
How many times do you think you listen to the album?
You said what?
It tells her.
How many times?
It says I've listened to, as far as Drake, I've listened to 1,400 Drake minutes.
So God. How many records are on the album? 24?
Yeah. What's your top albums of the year?
My top album is Grudges by Kiana Lede, but Drake is underneath that.
All right. See, that's my point.
Julian?
I'll go. One is Drake. Two is Terrace Martin. Three is Mac Miller. Four is Jameson. Five is Tyler, the Creator.
Lit. I like that.
That's your top artist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like again, they, Dinner Party, Division.
So what Drake got to do to be considered the greatest all the time? Because he's number one on all our lists, so...
He doesn't have to do anything to be considered. No, I think,
he's close to it. Yeah.
At this point, I don't even think you can argue. Whether you like him or not, you got to respect his the work ethic, the longevity, the run that he's on. I mean, the amount of hits.
Why don't people stamp it, though?
Ian, when you say the greatest, what do you mean? The greatest at what?
Yeah, that's what I would ask.
He's one of the greatest artists.
At rap music. If we go,
I'm not even going to just box him because he's not just rap.
But see, that's the thing. Like he's saying,
he's giving us a dance album in the last 18 months,
which I thought was fire.
Yeah, everybody.
When I went to Mexico, this was a vibe, yo.
It is, but like one of the greatest artists ever.
Okay, greatest artists
are the reason why we don't like. We say Jay-Z is the greatest rapper of all time because Jay is a rapper through and through. That is what Jay has done for 25 years. He's rapped. Drake's biggest thing that he contributes is the reason we don't call him the greatest because we wouldn't know what to call him the greatest at. You just say he's one of the greatest artists of all time. I think that's fair. But then you get into Michael Jackson conversations. But then that, I think, separates Drake from Hove. Because we never put Hove and Michael Jackson in the conversation. But we will say Hove is the number one rapper of all time, which we won't give to Drake. Yeah. Well, Drake is one of the greatest artists of all time. And I think that's the only way to put it.
I mean, I don't know why and how people still argue that. I mean, it's in front of you. I get it. Streaming era is different than it was for an artist like Michael Jackson when it was really actual physical album sales.
Yeah.
The numbers that Mike would have done in this era fucking crazy in the streaming era, but you can't make Drake a victim of his era and when he was born and when he was, you know, an artist. So I think that it's undeniable and people just have to accept it. He is one of the greatest recording artists of all time.
Yeah.
Can I tell you guys what my top song of 2023 was?
Yes.
Too Many Bubbles in the Bathtub.
I knew that. I knew it was going to be that.
Okay.
Yeah, my recap this year is drastically different. Like, I have a lot of Adele in my top songs.
That album is so good.
Frank Ocean, Blonde. Amara loves, like, She Calms Down when that goes on. So Blonde is my number one album of the year over my album. But For the Dogs at number three, for top albums of 2023, makes no sense to me.
That's what I'm saying.
It's my number
three. That's what I'm saying.
How?
Certified Lover Boys.
148 plays. I'll be honest with you. I think I listened to For the Dogs maybe three times.
But they don't mean the album. When they say 148 plays, they're not talking about the album through and through. They're talking about songs off the album.
Because between... Okay.
That's why it cheats when you have more songs on the album. It counts as more plays for the album.
Like, SOS is at number four. I know for a fact I've listened to SOS way fucking more than For the Dogs.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is weird. But these are always fun to look at. I know everyone thinks they could be the music snobs. I think this pulls people card. Like, I like this.
Absolutely.
It shows really what you listen to.
I can't believe
you are a Drake fan, sir. Stop with all this fucking underground shit you keep talking.
One of my top albums of the year is The Best of Sade. I don't know how that is. That's number 15.
See, you was talking something to that.
No, 100%. Nah, bro, listen. I don't listen to rap before noon.
Okay.
So when I wake up, it's either Sade, Bob Marley.
Gotcha.
I listen to a lot of R&B.
Yeah.
I can't listen to rap.
In the morning?
I just can't.
You said before 9 a.m. you can't do it, right?
Or 12.
Before noon.
Before 2.
Before noon.
That's my favorite time to listen.
Damn, you make them do the Walk of Shame to the Sade? You a bad motherfucker.
Nah, you know, I just like to hear R&B.
Because that's inviting. That's like stay for breakfast and you're like, yo, get out. And it's...
I just love listening to R&B, bro. Yeah. I just... It's like in the mornings, like I can't wake up to the rap frequency. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Well, outside of this being probably the weirdest year in music, as far
was
as
it a weird year?
Yeah, I think the output of quality mixed with Spotify being a tech company and algorithms add in with TikTok, it's been one of the weirdest years in music history, in my opinion, from the creative side and the business side. And we can talk about that, but I would like to have the conversation you and I had a few months ago off mic when you came to the office about where podcasting is currently. Because this was probably the weirdest year for podcasting in the last 7-8 years than it's ever been before.
Yeah.
The big deals are done. Money isn't dried up per se, but
the market's dramatically different though.
If you don't have a core fan base, it's looking a little funny in the light as far as what your next moves are.
Yeah.
Because they're not just passing out these insane deals to take risks.
Yeah.
Advertisers are done taking risks. Distributors are done taking risks. Like, this is what it is. Your CPM is your CPM. And if it's not there, we're not fucking with you. And we're not dumping a bunch of money to see if it grows.
Yeah.
Where are you going into the next year with your platforms? Are you going to differ? Are you taking a different approach? What?
For me, I'm looking forward to doing more shows. This is always my plan. Like when everything, like we have to blame Daniel for this at Spotify.
Okay.
And I want to say it again, Daniel, if you are going to sue over the fake streams, you're going to run into a lot of trouble with a lot of gangsters in the music industry.
Mm.
Stop. You're going to end up in the stream. And you got some issues you don't want.
You're going to end up in the stream.
Leave it alone. You forget to fuck with them little robot farms in China and shit. Stop. Because you knew the numbers weren't real when you were distributing the money.
But what's good for the goose is good for the gander. With a lot of these labels are invested in Spotify and have not just a partnership. They have actual ownership.
28%, right?
Yeah. So the fake streams are good for everyone but the artist, per se, because it just dilutes the entire market as far as what a stream is worth. That was purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that, I think the sue shit is smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
They're suing each other. It's all insider trading at the end of the day just to end up fucking over the people that they have to pay out.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't exist. It's fake streams are like sending money to Ukraine and Israel. Like, it's just diluting. We're the only ones that are going to get fucked in the in the long run because you're ruining our dollar.
Absolutely.
So yeah, this is a show to me.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to run into any problems with anyone in the music business because it's good for everybody but the artists.
But the artists. I think it was too many podcasts to begin with. And let's be honest, most of the shows aren't good.
Mm.
So if the shows aren't good, A lot of shows not passing the eye test. Mm-hmm. Most shows are too fucking long. Mm-hmm. There's a big space, I think, available for somebody to do short form content, 5 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But people don't have 4 or 5 hours to listen to mm-hmm. a whole bunch of shows. So I think, and then the business models are always wrong. Like when I would go into like CAA or, and I'll have conversations about how talent deals worked and all this shit. I'm like, why are you trying to give me this deal when we produce the show ourselves and pay for everything?
Yeah.
No, I think the business model has been broken. Like even taking ads all the time, I think is a huge mistake. I think every brand needs to have a product or at least have equity in what they're advertising in.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. A horror's game mm-hmm. to just get your blue chew for the best dick ever when you put the money bags under the...
Hey, it works here though.
Code Rory Mall.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel you on the ad thing. It's funny. We just had a little... back and forth. Well, not back and forth, but a beef with the Minimalist podcast.
It's funny.
And yeah, we
excessive beefing is a sign of the money drawn up too.
100%.
Well, when the money's fun and nobody's really arguing.
I always say that.
And we should get to that. Quickly on the Minimalist shit, we had fun with that. But I said at the end of that clip, he was making valid points. We are a podcast that does do ads.
Yeah.
It's a large part of our revenue.
Yeah.
And our business model, at least for the audio side of things.
Yeah.
Whether it be not YouTube or Patreon, that is something that we are willing to put ads on for a revenue stream. Now, I think with YouTube or paywalls, that's where you can get a bit more creative with your core to focus on the content that they specifically like.
Yeah.
This is almost a commercial for our paywall stuff.
That makes sense.
And for our YouTube stuff that YouTube will run the ad for. Every now and then you'll see us do a YouTube ad, but not to any degree that it is with audio.
Yeah.
I think there can be a balance with it. I do think it can disrupt a show. I'm not one of those people that doesn't understand that.
Yeah.
And I could see as a consumer being a little upset, but you know, there's also the second button.
Just done product placement.
I don't know if we've done product placement.
You kind of done it.
We've done a few. Yeah. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah. Don't say that.
But moving forward with podcasting, I think it's fine when you have a core fan base because you can do the paywall stuff.
Yeah.
There's still a world where podcasters are going to need ads. I don't think they're going to get the same value that they once got.
No.
But it has to keep the lights on to some degree. Everyone is in the position to be able not to take ads.
Why do most podcasters want a music-like deal when music-like deals don't make money for most people?
Right.
I think that's just a huge mistake.
I think specifically with our genre of podcasting, a lot of people did come from the music business first.
Gotcha.
So that's the standard practice, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
We saw how fucked up those deals were in the music business. Yes. And this is a completely different thing to begin with.
Yeah.
And I mean, when we did with the last pod with Spotify and even to some degree with our Sirius deal, they are structured a bit like music business deals. There's advances, there's recouping. It is a similar process, but where Spotify, I think, screwed up was they didn't value the podcast of keeping someone on that app longer than a Drake album could.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're nowhere near anything that For the Dogs is streaming, but Maul and I can keep someone on a Spotify app
for
70 minutes straight.
Yeah.
Whereas the biggest artists in the world can't do that.
Yeah.
And they were trying to value us at the exact same point.
Jesus.
But then things shifted even more once we thought we were going to be valued and Spotify put all their money into podcasting and you saw that go across the board.
Yeah.
TikTok was introduced.
Yeah.
And short form content became king.
Yeah.
And we're not that. So our value of being able to keep people somewhere for a long time got devalued because the consumer is not into long form content anymore. That's where you see us chopping up a bunch of clips.
Yeah.
That's where socials come in. That's where it matters. So I'm in a place of understanding, but I don't really know where things are going to shift. It's kind of like, not let's play it out, but just be aware of your content, your audience, and what you want to do, and navigate with what's coming.
I think the media landscape is always the same. Media was created, like soap operas were created so that Procter & Gamble could sell soap against the product.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't own a product or like just our motto, Market Mondays, live shows you guys have, InvestFest, our stock club. If you're not selling a product or service attached to it,
mm-hmm.
Rogan did it with On It.
Yeah.
People didn't know he owned On It mm-hmm. or a great portion of it. I think if you're not going to a model where you're not advertising your own products, like people are going to be in a lot of trouble.
Say what you will about Alex Jones and his politics. He is an example
great
of
model
ahead of his fucking time.
Absolutely.
He wasn't selling conspiracy theories. He was selling supplements.
Colloidal silver.
He was screaming on the internet on a camera in his crib and getting billions of views. He didn't care about that money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was selling supplements out the ass at the end of those shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there needs to be something tangible there.
Yeah.
But to the point you brought up, people are beefing because it is drying up.
Yeah.
Whereas
clear as day.
The convo you and I had a few months ago.
Yeah. Are there a lot of podcast beef right now?
What are you talking about? Y'all just did one.
We're on the screen.
Yeah. You funny.
Right, I think you fuck way more than four girls.
All right, let me be clear for the room. Is there any beefs outside of us?
Yes.
Yes.
A ton.
Plenty. Yeah.
A ton.
Everyone's going back and forth.
Well, you don't.
That's why I just asked.
Yeah, like even when Deez's Marrow happened, that's podcast beef.
This is a problem.
Adam 22 has been in beef.
Matt too.
Matt. Everybody.
Yeah.
Gillian Wallow. Everyone has been in some form of a back and forth
beefing with.
They were beefing with Joe for like beef is
beef, a lot
beef
of
is
people.
Where
you gotta listen
word.
To Danny oh, from the stop. He's the one that got all of you. Remember, put it on Danny.
Or, even if you want to take Vlad, everybody piles up on Vlad. He's a vulture. No,
that's a misconception. I've actually been very. I've complimented
you
Vlad.
You give him a lot of props. You give him a lot of props.
Critical, but you do.
I think he's changed his platform drastically, where I feel more comfortable
watching.
Not only watching, but complimenting his interview skills, his how he preps, the guests he get.
Yeah.
I was critical of Vlad in the earlier days when I felt like he was exploiting younger kids that did not understand.
Yeah. But let me ask
I was this. Never mad when grown men went snitch. That's grown ass men.
Why are people so critical of Vlad but won't bring that to Puff? Which also, I'm going to say too,
I mean,
the music
a fair
business
point.
Never... was never ours. So when we like the culture shit, like Vlad and Lee Orr are deploying assets for their culture. I don't know nobody black to own a majority of assets in the music business. So when I hear that he's a vulture, I'm like, how? But if Puff is using artists, not giving them, is he a bigger vulture or is Vlad?
I mean, I've never thought of the Puff.
The vulture
and Vlad
thing comes from because if you're not from the culture, I think. If you're not of the culture.
So being of the culture gives you a pass to disrespect
to do
and cheating.
Not, it doesn't shit. Give you a pass, but it's like at least you're of the culture, from the culture. You're not just somebody coming.
Are you harming the
culture? Of the culture meaning being black or of hip hop?
And it shouldn't be my face to bring this up, but I mean, Vlad was a DJ for real before. I had Vlad mixtapes that were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like before he was doing content, it wasn't like Vlad popped up and just started interviewing gang members. Like, listen,
Vlad got 30,000 views per interview. Would anybody call him a vulture? And I'm not caping for Vlad because he just came with us. But
I don't think so.
So that was my question. Like,
but we pick and choose with that as well, because I've seen people call Vlad a culture vulture a million times, but wouldn't call Adam 22 that. And I'm not even making that more of a white thing. Vlad was a DJ first and was within hip hop culture early. Yeah. Adam came from the BMX rocker world and then started interviewing SoundCloud rappers.
Yeah.
And now he interviews everybody and his gang members.
But 50
and a culture
Fev.
That shout out to Crip Mac.
50 Fev.
And I'm not calling Adam a culture vulture. I'm just bringing up the point that it is, people do pick and choose, myself included. I've been guilty and been a hypocrite where I have called Vlad out for behavior that I've let other people slide and not say anything.
Yeah.
I just hold a grudge because he tried to say I was unintelligent because I didn't want to go on a show.
Why aren't you going to show?
I have no interest on going.
Can we get a Villains and Vultures tour going?
Ooh.
I've been trying to do this for the longest time.
Villains and Vultures?
That'd be dope. That'd be dope as fuck.
Well, you and I
Villains and Vultures tour?
It'd be tough, bro.
That shit, it'll be grand opening, grand closing. You niggas is fighting first night.
This podcast shit ain't real. It wouldn't be. I mean, I'm talking about the fake podcast beef, not like ex-friend beef. That could go somewhere.
Yeah.
No one's
really
beefing with each other.
I'm not going to scrap with the minimalists.
No.
That's not a beef.
I told Julian to reach out to them. I'll go on their show and debate.
Rory hit me this morning and said, hey, let them know I'd go on their show. I was like, I don't think you open to doing anything with us at this
point. Yeah. That's fine.
We just took down their video.
But that's a question I asked when I first came up here. I'm like, why don't more people collab? especially when the money drying up. Everybody can play tough. When these shows start drying up and the money is gone, motherfuckers, like, and I think, honestly, in the space, all of us not doing something together has cost us not being on TV.
I agree.
Yep.
If you look, all the ego shit, and y'all can, we'll camera mine. This, that one, y'all not making as much money as y'all say. I ask y'all, how many podcasts make $4 to $7 million a year? See? How many make $1 million a year gross?
Not many.
I can divide.
Yeah.
So y'all rather have ego than actually be on tour? Like, what the fuck? That's what I'm like, it befuddles me.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, especially content creators and podcasters, are very much like hermits and love that they can stay in their house, not have to speak to people at all, and could just yell in a microphone and stay by themselves and make money. Now, when we were talking, I was on that time. I went on Barstool right after the pod split. And at that point, Gilly and I had choice words back and forth. But we had squashed it. About everything was fine. Misunderstanding. It was nothing at all.
Okay.
And I said to KFC on Barstool, I have no idea. I squashed that so quick because I didn't see the value in going back and forth with somebody when we could do shows together.
Yep.
When Joe and I went on Brilliant Idiots for the first time in 2014 or whatever, you could ask Andrew Schultz. The first thing I said was, hey, you and I should do joint shows. Before Andrew took off in his stand-up, I said, we should do Brilliant Idiots. I'll name this podcast later. Live shows, like the offers I'm getting from, you know, Highline at that time or other spots were good, but four of us, we could go crazy. This was before podcast touring was a thing at all. I've been on this type of time, but I fully understand that there's too much ego with people.
You think people rather have the ego than the money?
Yes.
For sure.
100%.
100%. Yes.
Some people.
Well, we were talking about when we first sat down here, the three of us, Rory, and we were saying what I admire most is in the comedy scene is how much they leverage.
They get along.
They
leverage each other
on a pedestal. Yeah. If one person drops a YouTube special or a Netflix special or just has any new body of work coming out, they hit the circuit and they share. They just go for it. There's 20 of those podcasts. They touch every single one in LA, New York, and now even down in the South in Austin. Like, they're such a healthy, and every, you know, community has its tension.
Issues,
A comedian is the biggest ego.
Yeah.
I'm funnier than you. That's what more can you, that's the whole impetus is I'm the funniest guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're the biggest narcissists.
They will still champion each other and lift themselves up. And I was getting so upset because I think it's,
you know,
a residual of hip hop where it's so tension and so negative. It's too much ego in a negative way where it's you'll be willing to hurt yourself in your own dollar just so you don't uplift and help someone else in this. That's in your field. That's in your space. And I hate that.
But is that also a reflection of our fan base? And I'm not putting this on the fan.
Not at all.
Nah. Your fan base don't see nothing but right in the comments.
I want to make
dictate our relationship with these people. The fans don't.
I want to make this very clear so words don't get misconstrued. When I say fan bases or demographics, I'm talking about the pod fan versus the comedy pod fan. Not a race thing, because there's plenty of white hip hop fan base people that we have that I think just thrive on us arguing and going back and forth. There's nothing within our pod community where Kumbaya works with our fans. They want to see us go back and fucking forth nonstop. The comedy pod fan loves to see three of their favorite comedians sit on a mic and be funny together.
Okay. Even if we...
Okay. They want to see us go back and forth.
Because we set that precedent.
Yeah. Because they know that we're not going to get along. We're in the seats
to control how we interact with each other. If we argue, who doesn't like to see a fight? But if you choose not to argue, you need to choose to uplift people. Guess what? You think they're going to stop watching?
Let me ask you this question. Because I think our fan base came from... we're not hip-hop podcasting, but it came from hip-hop. That's where it started.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wayne and 2 Chainz just put out a joint album.
True.
The hip hop fan is going to skip over that collab album to go listen to a Wayne diss towards 2 Chainz or 2 Chainz diss Lil Wayne before they go listen to a joint album with two of their favorite artists.
But that's
they
not
don't
fair.
Want the Kumbaya shit.
That's not
they're also
fair
older
because,
artists.
Yeah, they're older artists.
They're older artists.
Drake and 21 Savage have one. Drake of
the that's an anomaly. That's different.
Drake
that's
and Drake. J. Cole.
Yep,
is a prime example.
Of what?
What is our of getting along? At some point, they got to put a project out.
What did they?
They're going to do a tour. They did one video.
What was the response to that amazing first person shooter record? Who got who?
Who got who?
Cole smoking him. Drake is washed. Yo, I wish they just fucking beef. Yeah, yo, where's Kendrick? Is Kendrick going to diss them now? Is Kendrick getting on this beat?
Right, but the point is they're in the position to control the narrative. And they've led with positivity. Not only did they put that out, they then, 2 weeks later, a month later, they dropped Evil Ways with a video.
And now everybody wants a joint album. They control which way our mind goes.
People always wanted a joint album from those two. I think the genius in what they did was...
They didn't feed into it.
They didn't feed into the beef shit. It was like, yo, this is really my friend. This is really my guy.
Yeah.
Like, this is really like somebody I fuck with.
Yeah.
And I think that they just made good on that with a great record.
Yeah.
And then they followed it up with another good record.
Yeah.
And then obviously they're leaning towards, okay, obviously we have records together. Obviously there may be some more records together. And we know that people want us to do something, an album together. Yeah. I just think that with podcasting, in our demographic, it just is so much, this is mine. Like, I don't need you. I don't need that. I don't need, this is mine. And I think that, cool, it can still be yours, but that don't mean that you can't set up work on my block and I can't set up work on your block and we can't, like.
Because we're the only space that doesn't do it. And also, as the deals get smaller, the audience is fractured. Like, a lot of these shows can go bankrupt real fast. Mm-hmm. Next year, if inflation continues to go up, half these shows are going to be gone.
Very easy, because it's not cheap. There's a certain level of production when it comes to podcasts now. Absolutely. It's not what it once was. To maintain that level of production costs fucking money. And it's $1,500 ads aren't going to keep it going. Mm-hmm. But quickly, I'm not going to let y'all change my point based off Drake.
Oh my God.
Based off Drake and J. Cole. Dog, are the words we use now in just everyday language, spin the block, op, everything is about beef and confrontation. Just because Cole and Drake did one song together, you guys are not going to tell me that hip-hop and hip-hop podcasting, hip-hop YouTube, hip-hop live stream does not thrive. Triple its views with confrontation.
We're not denying that. Because clearly I've made that argument with you guys before about that too, even for our own sake. Mm. Right? It's at the sake of, it's not worth it though that we're not collabing at the end of the day, or at least collabing more. We could still be making way more money in the long run than the spikes that we get from a diss or from a beef.
Yeah, if every 50 episodes you have a beef, cool. We get 2x listens because you called out someone by name. And then it comes back down, it evens out, and then you wait for the next time the beef warms up again. The point is, we control the narrative. We control our relationship with these other podcasts. Utilize these other platforms.
This is coming from someone, we collab with another podcast.
We collab with other podcasts, though.
We're y'all doing it right now. Yeah. Again, it's not.
But we should do it more.
Like, okay.
Exactly. So, exactly.
It should be a common thing.
That's what I was trying to say.
Podcasts in this city that haven't even, it would never even come across working with.
Last year, we did Hulu Theater. It was just me, Troy, Rashad. We had Mayweather come. My first thought was, what four other people, huh?
Subtle flex is fine. Yeah, no.
I appreciate y'all for coming to the show. If I make you money, please put yes in chat. But what other five of us could do the garden? And then when Schultz sold up that shit out twice, we always complain about the vulture shit and we don't work together. And then somebody comes in and fills that void. Mm. We can't complain about, like, even with Vlad, if a bunch of us got together and brought a platform together for artists and up and comer, there would be no room for Vlad. Us not working together makes that fucking vacuum.
Well, no, what Vlad does, there will always be room for him because he's willing to do shit other people aren't willing to do.
True.
So there will always be room for him because he goes out on a ledge that other people know better than to go out on.
But knowing that the audience does want to hear those questions, there's plenty of people in the media that keep a certain moral ground that they won't ask those questions.
Yeah.
So as much as you want to fault Vlad, it is what the consumer wants to hear.
Yeah.
I've been critical of Vlad. There's been plenty of shit I've wanted to know with guests that he had on that I know only Vlad's about to ask that question, and I would like to know that answer. Yeah. So it's just a weird...
Like the whole Keefe D run. The fact that he got him to admit that shit...
Well, I mean, he had been out already, but...
Yeah, but like...
So let me ask you this to your point with the garden. And I'm trying not to be a pessimist the way I have been my entire life in 2024.
Yeah.
But let's take ego out of it and just be realistic. If we were to all do a garden show, let's say the garden agreed.
Yeah.
Seven of the biggest podcasts. Is one podcast going to come in rightfully so and say, I know I'm going to move more tickets than you guys. I need a different split here.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as you could call that ego,
yeah,
it's nah, kind of not.
It's fair.
That's fair.
That makes sense, though.
And who's going to humble themselves? Where's the... That's what's great about festivals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, artists don't pick that. If artists were putting together a festival, like all of us got together,
yeah,
that lineup would be a fucking mess of where people go, this and that. Thank God sometimes other people do that and you just are placed in the slot that you're placed in and it is what it is and shut the fuck up.
You guys saw
if
that.
We all work together to do that. Where? All right, what time slot am I in? What's my split on this? All right, advertising, who's doing what? Like it does get complicated.
Okay.
Then you just drop in real ego and it gets even crazier.
So why not model the festival format?
Mm-hmm.
You guys tried that, remember, with Roots? Remember you guys were in a lineup of different podcasts? You guys saw the difference?
And
yeah, but that was just, that in itself was weird because it was like, we didn't see anybody.
Y'all had a crowd.
No, I'm just saying, like, we didn't see any other of the other podcasts.
Yeah, that's what I'm also not talking about. Crowd, other podcasters.
Like, there was no, like, interaction with other podcasts, like, at all.
Yeah, the structure was weird. Yeah.
It was just like, yo, where's everybody at?
Yeah.
Like,
what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Like, I saw 19 Keys.
Yeah.
I saw Rashad when they did date. That was the first time we actually met.
Mm.
But other than that, I didn't see anybody that weekend that was on the lineup.
I mean, and I know I sound like I'm the one that's arguing against it.
Gillian Wallow was hosting it, and I didn't even see them.
Yeah, I didn't see them.
Yeah,
I was hosting the podcast stage.
I didn't even get to see Weezy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, we saw them.
Yeah.
We saw, like, the end.
All I know is I live my rhymes with this shit. So I don't mind being critiqued. No, I'm one of... Because I don't have an ego and just start fucking yelling out how I help people, because it's just not what I do.
Yeah.
You can ask the podcast community of who I've put with major agencies. I've gotten them their first lawyer. I got them their first deal.
Yeah.
I have put people on show bills. I have really tried to keep this podcast shit a community that we can really help each other. We're not... If I'm up, let me bring you with me. I don't think it's going to step on what we're doing over here. It could just help. I just see that it doesn't... No one talks about it because it's not good content. I can tell a story. Me and Mandy are cool. She won't care. Mandy went on No Jumper and was telling the whole last year she had this and that. I think Adam was like, yo, so what's up with Rory and Maul? Like, do you have a relationship? She was like, yeah, man, I guess I see them like every now and then is what it is.
Yeah.
Mind you, I had connected Manny and Bridget with UTA. Like, I was trying to help chop their shit. I was doing that, but that sold better. If Manny went up there and was like, yo, he helped me here, he helped me there, that's not good content. Fans aren't going to give a fuck about that.
I can argue that if the only thing that works is the beef thing, that the person, not because I fuck with Mandy.
Love Mandy.
Yeah.
Just
that. If most people in the podcasting space can only drive interest off beef, you're not good.
I agree.
Agreed.
So that's why, like, if we get a comedian, you have us on, like, the financial space, y'all, like, we can pick whoever and stagger it a certain way. Most people not giving enough value. Like, I think you can't have 15 people talking about the same shit. I think it's too many voices that are copying voices.
Mm-hmm.
So even people like, yo, all Maul care about is integrity. It's like, but at least he's in his lane.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather that than you copy and parrot what everybody else is saying.
Mm-hmm. I mean.
But everybody wants views. People are talking about the same thing because that's what's drawing views.
This is the fucking Olympics. Like, I'm telling you, like, we are the world Olympics. Like, if not, at some point, and people hate on Schultz too, I fuck with Schultz. At some point,
if we
don't do it, it'll be Schultz and Shane Gillis and Alex Jones and da-da-da. We're going to be like, why the fuck didn't we do it?
Listen, this is a creative meeting that we're just recording. You already know where I stand. Yeah. I'm down to put up money,
do
everything to make something like this happen because I do believe it would be great for all of us.
Yeah.
But in any creative meeting, I'm always going
to
bring up the issues of, like, is this even real?
And it's certain niggas I'm just going to always have beef with. I'm going to just let you know that now. Because that's just where I'm from. I'm from a small block in the Bronx.
When can we end the podcast war beef?
Huh?
When can we end the podcast?
When the truth is on the table?
See, but that... All right, see, this is the
That's difference. Very broad.
We can end... Me and Gilly went back and forth. Yeah. That ended because that was a podcast thing.
Yeah.
But that wasn't...
I think
beef.
You're...
That wasn't beef.
I know.
See, that's another thing, too. We got to stop calling things beef. Like, that ain't beef. That was just words exchanged. That wasn't beef. That was a misunderstanding.
What I think you're alluding to is not a podcast beef.
Gotcha.
It's a disagreement that came from a podcast, but it is not a podcast disagreement.
Gotcha.
Or beef in that matter, because we're using that loosely. No one's going to be harmed, but that's different. I think anyone can get over any podcast beef.
Yeah.
Like, who cares about that type of shit?
And yeah, like, it's not podcast.
And then go in different green rooms. Like, this is bigger than your back and forth on a microphone from Best Buy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. If we do something in that regard. But we don't even support our shows. I went to Gillian Wallow's show at Sony Hall. Just sitting there. They were like, oh, damn, thank you for showing up. I was like, I feel like we probably need to do this more.
More
like, would have got you free tickets. I was like, bro, I just bought a ticket because I think this is important. The live show aspect,
man, let's
for
just
all
call
of
it what it is, man. Niggas got ego. Niggas never had nothing. Niggas come from nothing. They finally got a little bit of something, and now they acting like they too good to fuck with niggas.
Would y'all say y'all have ego?
Who?
You too.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. We all do.
We all have ego, but I don't.
Ego's healthy if you channel
it,
right?
I don't push my ego like somebody wouldn't feel my ego. Like, you wouldn't feel it. Like, somebody wouldn't come in here. They would never meet me and be like, yo, he was kind of like. That would never happen.
Yeah.
I salute everybody. Yo, what's up? How you doing? And that's it. Like, I don't push my ego on people, but we all have an ego. But I just think that in this podcast space, you know, when you had these cameras and mics on, you know, people start thinking they, you know, it's hard. That attention that, you know, you start making some money, it's hard for some people to kind of like remember who they are for real.
Put a name on the bullet if you're going to do that.
Because they weren't anybody for real before the mics and the attention. That's well, why we're the
put
ego.
A name on
the,
bullets.
The ego is protecting
shoot.
People from seeing.
No, it's not even. I'm not even really. I'm not really particularly shooting at anybody individually. I'm just saying, just overall, I think that's what it is. A lot of people. This is a new platform, and people are like, you go outside, people stop you, want to take a picture. They want to. Yeah. For some people, that's like they all they ever wanted. They just wanted attention. They wanted notoriety. They wanted people to, you know, just stop them in the streets and take pictures, and they wanted that. So now that they have that. They sometimes feel like they don't want to share that because it was a time where people wouldn't share it with them.
Yeah.
So now that they have their own little thing going on, it's like, they like, nah, nigga, like, you ain't helped me when I was trying to get my shit off and trying to come up. So I'm not trying to. And I think that's where, which is corny to me. Yeah. Like, it's like, bro, it's a podcast, bro. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Like, we ain't rock stars. We ain't motherfucking, like, when people ask me, yo, you're a celebrity. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I still walk through Harlem, go get a hit. I'm not a celebrity, bro. Yeah. Like, I'm a regular nigga from uptown. I do a podcast. People like what we do. They enjoy it. They enjoy the conversation. It's great. I love that.
Yeah.
But I don't look at myself like a celebrity.
You're a baddie curator.
That's true.
But I've always been that.
Celeb second.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've always been that. I've always had pretty girls gotcha. Around. I've always been cool with the cute girl in school and all of that. Like, that's just what it was.
Gotcha.
But now that it's a platform and Instagram and all that, people think that this is something. Bro, I just always just like being around pretty girls. Pretty
girls. Mm, you going to give out some awards in December? Like a top five baddie list like Spotify got?
Not a bad idea. We might have to do a baddie tour.
See?
Mm. Are they selling pussy on the tour?
We're talking.
No,
we're not doing that.
Oh, my bad. Okay, I'm sorry.
You're never doing that. I don't want no parts of that. That's how you get sex trafficking charges a few years down the line and all that. No. We're not doing that. Yeah, we're not doing that. But I just think that. Like when people like cars, it's auto conventions, Javits in every year. Why not have a baddie convention?
Not a bad idea.
Because then you bring in pretty women that have real shit going on and real businesses.
With the villains and vultures and some music.
After party is a baddie convention.
Thank you.
Who would you put on your villain set list?
Vlad, Adam. Who are some other villains? Well, they're villains and vultures. Charleston White.
Okay. Ooh,
that's a good one.
Charleston White, a good motherfucking addition. People may not like him. Content fire, though.
He's still out there?
Yeah, he's cooking.
I like Charleston White. I just think sometimes I understand his message.
Yep.
I understand, like, yo, y'all glorify this rap shit and these rappers and the message that they're spewing. But why not glorify, you know, the ones that's really in the communities doing the work and helping people and doing that?
Yeah.
I understand, but sometimes he go a little crazy. And I know you have to be overt and kind of like out there to kind of like grab the attention. But I fuck with Charleston White. I just think sometimes it's like.
What do you think he go too far with, like the Nipsey thing?
I think that him calling the dude that shot King Von, calling him like putting him on the same pedestal as a Malcolm X is kind of crazy. It's like, bro, what we talking about? You understand what I'm saying? Like, now I understand some of his messaging.
Yeah.
But shit like that is, I'm kind of like,
it's too much.
That's just like, come on, fam.
Why nobody check him on it though? And that's the part.
I like, think a lot of people really don't care about what he's doing.
Okay.
Now, somebody like me, just because I pay attention to certain things, I'm like, he's not wrong about that.
Yeah.
He's not wrong about that.
Yeah.
And he, and then he show you his track record. Like, I've been doing this since before the cameras was on. Yep. I've had organizations in the community helping kids and putting kids through school and having after school programs, going to these. He's been doing the work.
Yeah.
So that's why I salute, because he ain't just talking. Yep. He's really been doing it. I think Candace Owens is another one.
Candace fire.
She's right.
Yeah.
On most things that she says. But because it's just been a unanimous thing that she's she doesn't like black people. And like, is, I thought
she said that?
But no, I'm saying it's unanimous. People feel like that she doesn't. Yeah. That she's for white America. That people just feel like because she's a Republican and she's a white America. Whatever. That's your political shit. Do that. I felt she was right when she said Cardi should not get into politics.
Why?
Because if the original hip hop was not politics. It's not political at all. It was actually
wrong. That's
that is
wrong.
Yeah.
Hip hop?
Yes.
Hip hop was not politics. What are you talking about? How hip hop started was a voice of the people that was just, it wasn't about political view. We was going against the agenda in the machine. We wasn't getting into your vote for this person, vote for that person.
Yeah.
That was never hip hop.
Creating a counterculture is a commentary on political and social economics.
The bottom line is this. She was right in saying that. Like, yo, it's some things you don't know about this.
Yeah.
So don't speak on it. Because you're going to speak on something that you don't know what you're saying. I didn't think she was wrong for saying that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I'm not mad at Cardi trying to use her voice to get people to vote. I'm not mad at that part.
Isn't it not a mistake for hip hop to not be involved in politics?
Yeah. Why can't it evolve? Like, it can evolve from hip hop starting as a party.
The fact that we public enemy 10 years later. All the culture talk, that's good. We don't own shit as the culture.
Yeah.
No labels, no talent agencies.
That's another thing.
No private equity. All that culture talk. That's something like when Vlad and Lior do what they do, that's their motherfucking culture.
Hmm.
What black-owned label is there that an artist can go to and pop? You don't have a black-owned platform. Shout out to UTA. There are very few black-owned creative agencies you can go to. Very few black-owned advertising agencies. What's culture?
Mm.
Most black people don't even like being black enough to live in their blackness. What's culture?
Talk it.
Well, let me ask you then, who... Would you just put everything in the white America bucket of ownership? Like,
yeah.
Lior doesn't own YouTube Music.
No.
He didn't. I mean, he was the owner of 300 and Def Jam, et cetera. But then Universal was really the... Is it just because Lior is white in that per se? Because he doesn't really own shit either. Vlad owns his company. Vlad does not own YouTube as a distributor.
Yeah.
YouTube tells Vlad how much they're paying him. It's not the other way around.
Yeah.
So... Does anyone own anything?
The ones that own.
But we don't, those are faceless people. We can give Kanye West all the flack we want. And I used to find those Twitter rants a little funny as well. Yeah. But when he did that one day, when he was trying to find all the faceless people of Universal.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I understand people saying Lior could be a culture vulture, et cetera, whatever, even though he, you know, started in hip hop with.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Yeah.
He also doesn't own shit.
And it's the same
thing. He's put in position because of who he is.
Yeah, who he is. Yeah.
And I get that point. But on the ownership side, Lior doesn't own YouTube.
I don't think there are any vultures. But going back to the tour point.
You don't think there's any vultures?
In a culture that we don't own?
Bars.
We won't take a stand and call people out when they do wrong.
Mm.
So we're not going to take a stand with it. Like, I've seen... artists in the podcast space take deals and sell the rights to the show or get started.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, nigga, you are a thousand times more famous than me and Rashad and Troy. What are you doing? Mm. Oh, man, I need the bag. I'm like, wait a motherfucking year. I'll give you $14,000 if you need it.
Right.
I got some cameras.
What?
Right.
Nah, man, it's the way the business go. You're going to fuck up the value for everybody else then.
Mm-hmm.
And you see they probably break up and fraction off.
Mm-hmm.
Even like the pivot shot to Fred and everybody, like, how y'all not stay together to have, and then, but they don't do it. And guess what? Pat McAfee slide his motherfucking ass right in ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been Chatham's spot.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't work together.
Mm. Yeah, but that was something, I think, from what I understand, Brandon Marshall had did some business that was kind of shady.
Yeah.
And I think Fred and them, they was like, yo, we ain't going for that. And then Brandon started, I guess, lying on them.
Yeah.
Saying things. So in that situation, it's hard to kind of work through that.
Yeah.
Because once the damage is done, we know firsthand, you can't sit across from somebody and be like, yo, like, because it's just always there. It's like now the camaraderie and the trust and all of that is ruined.
Yeah.
So it's hard to work through that sometimes. And, you know, you want to know who your peoples are, put some money on the table and watch how niggas start saying, well, I feel like I should, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, oh, so that's what you think about me. Okay, cool. Yeah. So it's hard not to, you know, to work past those situations. And I understand what you're saying. Like, sometimes it's better for us to kind of work through it.
Yeah.
But then it's also sometimes where it's like, it ain't no coming back from that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where, it's all subjective, but to your ownership point, where do we draw the hard line in the sand of what could be considered vulturing or not of the culture to ownership? Like if someone does a licensing deal with a company that is not of the culture, that's an agreement to sell their content against ads for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
That's where I get lost with the ownership conversations and the culture vulture conversations. Cause I do agree with you.
Yeah.
But what would be the solution
for us?
No, no, I understand. Don't sell your content.
Yeah. For us.
But partnerships, like I also think that the ownership thing got blown out of proportion where people are starting to think it's uncool to do a partnership or to do a licensing deal or work with somebody.
I think people put that in our culture so that we don't elevate and grow together. Even like the, like switching up on friends and all that op talk, that only happens in our community. Like when we went to Italy, I was like trying to find a club to go to at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. They're like, there are no clubs here for you to go to. I'm like, come on, like, spend time with your fucking family and friends.
Right.
I thought that was so dope. I'm like, there's no lounge. She's like, go have dinner. Go get some gelato.
Yeah, go have some dinner. Yeah.
But go hang with your fucking friends. I tried to go to the bank, get some money. I'm like, hey, y'all open up at 1:30. It's like, we open up when we want to. You Americans care too much about individualism. We're not going to let y'all fuck our vibe up with y'all American shit that's not working.
Fair.
Be a collective.
Yeah.
And it's seeped into... Like, and I ask people all the time, like, from when we was growing up, I don't even know that many black people that, like, hang out on a weekly, just, like, kick it house parties and shit. Like, we've lost our culture and our norms so much, and it's bled into the business. So I think, I know it's a controversial take, but I think there are no vultures if we don't work together. That's planted. The rules that we follow, even in all the drama publicly, it doesn't happen that often. It may have happened with like Sam Altman at OpenAI and Microsoft like last week. That's rare publicly and for a publicly traded company to have like, or like what Elon said to Bob Iger about fuck you and don't advertise on our platform. I think we make a big mistake by not coming together. Because if so, if the tour works, then you don't think that same tour could get Stephen Colbert or fucking Jimmy Fallon, shout to him, I fuck with him. But we couldn't have that slot.
I agree.
Like, so I think it's just important to pick the people who want to work together.
And that's been placed, I think, within the culture as well. Because no one looks at film and is like, Netflix isn't doing it for the love anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's been put on, I feel like, just hip-hop. Like,
they're not.
No, it's standard shitty business that's happening.
Yes.
You're putting emotions into it. And I understand that because this culture is so important and is derived from real life emotions and experiences. It is. It's definitely diluted a bit because it became entertainment, the biggest genre in the world.
Yeah.
But that's where it started at. So I fully understand people being emotional about it.
Yeah.
But those standard business practices that we deem culture vulture are across the board
everywhere.
And everyone goes, hey, that's just good business.
Yeah.
It's shitty business, but that's, I've never seen someone at Lionsgate like, you're a culture vulture because you don't do black and white films anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're just making Marvel shit because that's what's selling.
Yeah.
It's really only in hip hop that's put on to people. But I understand it. It's different.
It's going to be to a big detriment to us because I think if...
But how do we get it?
But that's what I'm saying. The only people that will suffer from it is the same people that have love put their blood, sweat, tears into it. It's their life. It's their history into it, which is just...
How do we get it there, though, to where everybody in the... is on the same accord?
I don't know. I don't think money. I don't think. What'd you say?
We're behind a paywall.
Baby.
Maybe. I don't think everybody will be on the same accord, but I do think if we make like a Watch the Throne and it works, people will be like, okay, if we do a tour, let's say we do 8 days and it's like we made $42 million off of it, all niggas get along real fast. it may be behind the scenes bullshit, but more people are going to get along. I had the same conversation with Charlamagne. I've had it with Joe. Everyone get the same answers. But then Pat McAfee gets a deal, or everyone says, why can't we do what Rogan does?
Yeah.
And it's going to take all of us to get to those same numbers. See, Schultz sold out the Garden twice.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. In 10 minutes.
I'm like, I hit him. I was like, bruh, you smart.
Mm-hmm.
You leverage yourself next to someone, got bigger.
Took your own YouTube page.
That's smart.
Great clips. Oh, no, I'm not.
Great clips. And people let
Charlamagne's
him do
the
this.
Nicest guy of all time.
I agree. But Charlamagne thinks like, I don't care. I got my own thing going. Okay, great.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why don't we, if we band it together, I know it. Just seeing what we just do on our own tours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dog, if we got eight of us together, we can change the fucking world. And have a lot of fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to lead by example.
Yeah. And I mean, not to beat a dead horse, that has to come to some understanding, because respect to Black Effect and to all the other networks.
Yeah.
As much as I want to do this and would put up my money to do it, I'm not, it can't be Black Effect Presents. It can't, it would have to be a collective of all of us with a new name, a new LLC,
1,000%.
A new, it would have to be a new entity.
Yeah.
Because it would never work.
Yeah, I agree.
It can't. We could put our logos at the bottom of the flyer. I'm with all that shit. But it can't be presented because you feel you're
at
the
top. But we tried that. But Jay tried that with Tidal, right? The whole Tidal thing. He had Prince on stage. He had all of these great, amazing Black artists.
Bad marketing.
And
The marketing.
It was
bad,
It came across as boohoo, I'm a millionaire. Give me more money.
That's
consumers.
What it came across. Like, I love the rollout, but the execution of the messaging, I think, was off.
They were right, but that's not what the consumer wanted to hear, to go buy a new app. Like, let me make sure you guys.
Now, if there were fan experiences, like if I listen to Tidal and I can go to a pop-up at Say Less with
Snow
Allegra, that would be a vibe. Like, we have to give more.
But the structure of how Tidal was great because, you know, like Nicki owned part of Tidal. Now you get Nicki going to Say Less because of Tidal, because it's her company.
Yeah.
She has no problem doing a pop-up
and
you have to be a Tidal subscriber to go do that. That was the genius of Tidal. Yeah. It wasn't presented the right way.
Presented the right way.
But I mean, you even saw like the rumors of like Suge, Jay Prince, Irv, Dane. Yeah.
Was that true or was that like an internet rumor?
I heard there was real talks of that, to do a distribution company where you wouldn't need a major anymore. The five of us get together, and trust me, shit wasn't all peaches and cream between everybody.
Yeah.
And it was way worse than anything podcast related we've been going through. There was violence between
them. Yeah, there was real shit going on.
So I think there's a world, but people have to care.
I'm in Houston.
We're
yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. We're affiliates of the Prince family.
Oh no. Nothing but love and respect.
Yeah.
I like their business model. I respect their business model.
Got you.
Absolutely.
Right when we landed in Houston, Swole was like, "Yo, you want to meet Jay Prince's brother?" I said, "Absolutely."
Immediately.
I haven't slept. I haven't showered. I'm on my way.
On the way. From George Bush straight there.
We'll check right in. Does he need anything?
For real.
But Julian, do we have voicemails?
We do. So since it's the Spotify Wrapped Apple Replay time of year, let's start with a music question for everyone here.
Yo. Rory Mall, Maris, Eden, Yomi, Julian. I got a couple questions for y'all. This is Junior from Montreal. Let's say you guys lived in a world where whenever you guys would make an entrance to, let's say, any building, house, business, or whatever, there was a song that plays, and you could pick between two songs for your whole life. Which two songs did you pick? I'm asking everyone in the group.
Say that again?
If you can pick two songs for what?
So if you walk into a room, your entrance song. So like how baseball player with their walkout song. What do you want your song to be when you come into a room? Or
and you get two.
Hey, let's do one.
Why?
Anytime I walk in a room.
Yeah. Yes. That song plays.
I feel like everybody has that song in their mind. Or maybe it's a girl thing. I don't know. That song in their mind that they hear that like really like embodies them. Or
Give It to Me, Baby by Rick James.
Excuse me?
Really?
Don't listen to him.
Yeah.
What song you say?
Give It to Me, Baby by Rick James.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
Give It to Me, Baby. Okay.
You got to walk into a funeral with
definitely for me, American Dreamin', Jay-Z off American Gangster. Okay.
That's the aura you want when you walk into the room?
Yeah. See? I feel like that would be like fitting for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Can I... Can I pick this specific part of the song I'm picking?
Sure. I think that's fair.
Very bending that's rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
How am I bending rules? No, yeah, I just want to know the sync of where.
I have the same answer in my.
But then why are you fucking?
I would do Kanye West So Appalled, but only the part where RZA is screaming, this shit is ridiculous.
Fucking ridiculous.
Anytime I walk in a room, I just want RZA to scream that over that beat.
Damn,
dirty white bitches, this shit is ridiculous. Yeah. Anytime I enter.
That's tough.
Like the bank, a funeral, anywhere.
Okay. New Level, ASAP Ferg.
Love it.
Wow. Ooh, okay. That's a fun shit. One. I saw him perform that on TRL.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. My friend used to do
TV?
My friend used to do the program.
You had cable? It's crazy.
That was when I just moved to New York. She's like, do you want to come to some of these recordings? And he debuted it there.
Oh, shit.
I gave him dab.
Nice.
Damn.
How do you feel?
There's a gif of it.
You feel like a man?
I felt like I was on a new level.
You was ASAP Julian?
Now I'm here.
Funny as hell.
Walk outside in Soho. I'm sure you could run into Ferg.
Yeah, he's right here.
He's always around.
Right there.
Mine would be the horns part on Spodiyoti Dopalicious.
Oh, okay.
All right. We got another voicemail.
Damaris?
Yeah.
That's great.
Ooh, that's dope.
Me, baby, no lyrics.
Shaking it the way I like.
That would be yours?
Ready to be back.
Niggas will leave.
Back.
Yeah. Like, I'm out.
Damaris survived, yo.
You hear that music play, turn around.
Niggas is like, all right, I'm out.
It would be that or Dirty Diana by Michael Jackson.
That's
Dirty
hilarious.
Diana. Dirty Diana.
Mine doesn't sound so ridiculous. Now does it?
Wow.
Why Dirty
I love
Diana?
I just love the song.
Yeah.
It's not really the lyrics. It's the song.
The Weeknd did a good cover of that.
No, he didn't.
Nah, Weeknd got to stop. Shut up.
No, he didn't.
That shit's fired.
Go ahead.
We got another voicemail?
Well, while we were recording, someone submitted this call a minute ago, so let's all listen to this for the first time.
Okay, I'm scared.
Oh, yeah. So you haven't vetted this one?
I'm from Dortmund, Germany. And I know you had a lot of is this hip hop or not questions, but there's another one. So this might be the biggest pause yet. So I've been ill and thought the best idea maybe to get healthy again was to smoke a blunt and take a bath and listen to my favorite music, which is like low R&B. Is that hip hop?
I don't know what he just said.
He sound like he in the basement of a hostage. Yeah. The acoustics boy, are crazy. Yeah. Like, are you okay?
Christ.
He's blindfolded right now.
I don't even know what he said.
He said, is it hip hop to smoke a blunt and take a bath and listen to slow R&B?
That's your vibe when you kick him out, ain't it?
That's hip hop.
Yeah. Yeah, small shot. That's hip-hop. Shot
it.
Yeah.
Yo, sure. Kicking a girl out while you start to run a bath for yourself.
That's the vibe.
God, that is fucking nuts.
The water.
That's gangster.
Like, yo,
we've done
what? Like, what you about to do today?
She for sure thinking that's for her.
She
for sure like, oh, this nigga done put the bubbles in. He's like,
all right, bath bomb.
And you hit it with the like, yo, so what you about to do? You about to like, yo, Uber here. Outside. Like, you're Uber downstairs.
My boy.
That's the last time you took a bath.
That's gangster. A bath?
Yeah.
Pause?
Yeah, that's what
it's come on.
That's the problem. Enough of y'all don't bathe.
I bathe.
I shower.
Yeah, I don't.
I feel like are kind of dirty to bathe in.
No, yeah. You shower first after the bath.
I shower first.
Shower first, then bath.
Yeah, if I'm gonna sit in the tub and like soak and shit, I'm taking a shower first.
See, I usually bath and then shower.
I shower.
I like that method too.
That nasty bath water off me. That should be for relaxing, not to like clean.
But that's why you take a shower first to clean yourself and then sit in the tub.
Yeah,
I guess. Still water.
You still have to shower after the bath.
Well, how do you get the Epsom salt and lavender and all the things that you love? All the honey that you put in your bathtub?
Would you put honey in your bath knowing it's not vegan?
Honey?
Why would you do that?
Whatever. Why would
it's
you
a
put
sticky ass bath?
Why would you put honey in your
tub?
They
have like honey bath bombs and like.
I'm thinking something like
that. Honey. Yeah.
No, I'm not putting honey in a tub. Gotcha. Like, no.
I took a bath 2 days ago, but the soak tub I use often.
Is the same one Damaris used?
Yes, I mean, I it's been clean.
I'm so sorry, Damaris.
Gotcha.
Good. You would have to.
Damaris masturbated using his shower head.
This is what you tell.
I knew that already, though.
He listens to the show.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. See, he knew.
Yeah, I know.
That's good.
Yeah,
the world knows.
Caught up.
It's kind of.
Yeah.
Was that like on a show day or like?
I was out of town.
Got you.
And she was at my crib. So, update on that. So, I had to have some work done in my master bathroom.
Got a new head?
And I had to use my guest shower for like almost 2 weeks. And right when I got in there, and I'd never used my guest shower before.
Yeah.
And that was the one that Damaris masturbated
in. You felt violated.
The moment I walked in the shower, I was like,
I feel like a sex dungeon?
It's a crime scene.
Yeah. You buy a new head?
No, it's the same one.
It's the jets that hit. Like he has jets that are angled so that they hit right on your back.
So okay, you had to lift your leg.
Oh, so you bent over.
Yeah, she bent over, and that shit was hitting the bean like a fucking speed bag.
Numb after.
It was Mike on the speed bag.
You know, and Damaris is short, so she was all her tippy toes. You know, she was all her tippy toes the whole time. Calves numb, all kind of shit.
Using her to play music.
Yeah, you know she was.
A little vibe in there. The shower.
Yeah, yeah.
Stood up on
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I'm so sorry.
Love to yourself in the shower.
We have a guest.
What type of bath you have in your crib? You won't invite us to your crib, so we don't know.
In my bathroom, like
wait, hold on. You invite baddies to your crib without your friends?
Never.
Of course.
I get it too.
We've only seen Maul post the same view from his window. That's all we've never seen the inside.
We think he's living
like
a Taz Angel. Ain't no furniture in that bitch.
Yeah.
Window.
I love that for myself.
It's sneakers.
I love that for him too.
I tried to like pull his card and I showed up in the town that he lives in and I texted
him. Oh, you don't even know the block?
No. Well, it's somewhere in paperwork. My dad like I'm sure that. If I went through Mullen Eyes business agreements, I could find it.
I saw a Vince Staples interview.
Yeah.
And he was talking about that. Like how none of his friends have ever been in his house. And he was looking at the interview like, yo, what are you asking me? Of course. But I'm not a
Long Beach Crip. Like,
no,
I think Vince had a different point in that.
No. But I probably would have never been to your house if we didn't start recording it.
Because it was in Jersey.
No. Yeah, but I go to Jersey.
You're gonna go to Rory's house?
Not coming to your crib, bro.
No, I just don't go to people's houses like that. Like,
there's more baddies in Jersey or New York?
Come on, yo.
It's not even close.
Come on.
New York City.
He just saw the bees of the baddies.
Yeah, no.
Wait, are we doing New York City versus the whole state of New Jersey?
Sure.
I don't care how you do the whole New York City wins.
You do the whole East Coast.
New York City, for sure.
Things have changed, man.
Things have changed, but it's
on River Road.
What, Newark's got them?
Go on River Road, New Jersey. Looks like Broadway now.
All the chicks moved out there. That's the thing. I do want to bring that up because you brought up Newark not having baddies.
Oh, because now you live in Jersey.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It really has nothing to do with that. My thing is just because you don't have access to or these women don't have access and they work like regular jobs and they don't
make.
What do you mean? Do you think just more beautiful women are born in New York?
No, they live here because there's more going on economically.
There's more traffic.
There's more content creation, which means you're on camera more often than not. Attractive people are on camera. There's modeling agencies here. Models are pretty good looking most of the time, the real ones. Mm. So like it attracts people that are
New York City
better
has
looking.
Way
more
better.
Looking there's more money
than New Jersey.
Attractive people tend to make
so
more
if you
money.
Was to open up an art gallery, like what part of New York City would you put your art gallery in?
Of women?
Probably the meat market.
I'll set myself up for that.
Yeah, you did.
Wait, what's the art gallery? Of
hoes.
Yeah.
They'd stand there as art?
Yeah.
It's pretty much a fashion show.
Pretty much.
They do it now. It's not like we go to art shows now and women are just standing there with something on and we're like, okay.
Yeah.
It's Gold Bar on Saturday night.
Exactly. Yeah. Got to do it somewhere downtown, lower Manhattan, in the city because it's accessible to so many different people from different parts of the city.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, this was fun.
I appreciate
it. I don't know if you have any more points or questions or anything that we can get to. But
no, we're going
to
make that tour happen, man.
That'd be
I'm
dope,
just sitting
bro.
Here I'm listening to you and, you know. Obviously, I pay attention to you, so I like the idea of it. I just want to see how it would be executed because I think that it's easier to sit and for us to talk about it, and it's a great idea, but I just don't have faith that we can do it because it's just ego.
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 We got to take the egos out of the first run. Let it be a success, then it'll work. Because I'm going to be real, like...
So if we do a first one with people with no ego, everybody fuck with each other, and it's a success, then you're saying it'd be easy to get...
Easy.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, I'm here to do my part.
Yeah, me too.
I can only be responsible for my effort, so I'm here, but good luck to us.
You coming to our show tonight? Friday, if you're listening?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm on your guest list. You sold me out by that coming on the mic, too.
That's crazy.
Damn.
Well, Maul outed Yomi last episode, so I don't think we'll ever hear
Yomi's voice
ever again.
Mm. Oh, you out of my girl? Why
I didn't know she had a girlfriend. I didn't know.
Are you telling all our business?
It was crazy.
What you mean?
He said she doesn't get bitches.
Somebody else said no. Yomi's in a relationship. I was like, I had no idea, Yomi. I apologize. I did not know. I had no idea.
And so,
If you're listening to this on Friday, audio version, and then came to our show in New York, thank you for coming. Yes. If you're watching on Saturday on YouTube and went to our show, I'm sure it was the best show you've ever been to in your entire life. And we still thank you for coming. Maul's guest list is still available. If you want to DM him, if you're listening on a Friday, because this drops 5 a.m., they have a few hours to DM you.
True. Please don't.
Please do.
There's space.
Please don't.
There's plenty of space.
You got five on your guest list?
I got more than that. Home, man. You know how home is.
Yeah, crazy.
It gets crazy.
Can't wait for that text.
I was thinking about bringing Amara to the show. Is that a bad idea?
Very bad idea.
Yeah.
Crying baby?
No, like in the green room.
Oh. Bad idea.
Not like where the people will be.
Bad idea.
You should do that. That'd be cute. My parents would love to meet her.
Yeah.
It's a bad idea. That green room situation is terrible.
You'd be very concerned.
Yeah, it's a lot going on.
It's a lot of people.
Bad idea.
Yeah. Put some headphones on her.
You know what I noticed for our past... We've done like three Sony Hall shows.
Yes, this would be our third.
This would be our third.
Great green room they have down there. Two different rooms. I've noticed that they get really packed and none of the people in there are people Maul or I invite.
Which is why I just said
it always works like that. Who? Every show like that.
It's just keep weird going. The AAs that just get passed out. I'm like, I don't know anyone in here.
Keep going. Who do you think invited these people?
Post show, you'd be directing people, bring them downstairs.
After the show. I'm talking about before the show when I'm trying to change.
No, that's,
I'm like, who? That's yo, can you get out this room? Because I'm going to like be naked.
That's why I said bad idea.
Yeah. Because
you already know how that goes.
True.
Any other city? Great idea.
That's crazy.
This city? No.
What was your favorite city to tour on?
London.
London looked like a but. I love London, y'all.
Yeah,
London.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong with London.
Yeah.
But it is tough to beat that Texas run.
Texas,
Austin,
lit.
Houston is always a really good
always
run.
Always vibing.
So.
Yeah. Chicago was dope, too, though.
Chicago
was dope. Yeah. We had a good show in Chicago. The people was dope. And we went to Soul House there.
Okay.
Joe Fresh Goods took me out after we went around the city a little bit. Like, it was cool. Yeah. Chicago was good. It was a good vibe, but London is just different.
It's beautiful, yo.
That love over there in the UK is just, this is different. It's different. The people that worked at the venue was like, dope to work.
How they were so nice.
Catered different,
yeah.
Well,
Ian, thank you.
Cool.
Thank you. All.
And hopefully we make some history in 24.
That'd be great.
Let's do some things together. I think it's long overdue. But we appreciate everything that you do, everything that you bring to the culture. Keep doing what y'all are doing.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate
Thank y'all for listening to another episode of the New Rory Maul podcast. We'll see y'all soon. NewRoryMaul.com. Get your merch. Show's over for now.
The art gallery will for be now. Up in 2024, though.
The art gallery, we're going to work on that.
Yeah.
We're going to
be in that show.
It might be 2023.
2024 art baddie gallery coming soon. We'll talk to y'all soon. I'm that nigga. He's just Ginger. Peace.
New Rory and